All right, we'll go on to agenda item number seven. Report, possible discussion on investment officer's report for first quarter of fiscal year 2015 by John Halls.
This is, again, a standard quarterly report that you'll see each meeting that you're hearing. Again, it's the first quarter of the fiscal 15. You receive the detailed information in your materials. As again, as you all know, in our mind each time, the Public Funds Investment Act requires that the governing body receive a periodic report of our investment results and a portfolio, and that's what this is. And I just give you a summary, a very high level, just on this slide of it, and you can see that our total portfolio, and this includes both unrestricted and restricted funds, the book value has gone up about $10 million from the last quarter. And again, that's typical of what we expect at this particular in the first quarter, because we bill our water, many of our water customers, we bill on an annual basis at the beginning of the year, and we collect a lot of the money in the first quarter, and then it's paid down over the next quarter. So that's typical. You can see the good news is we've had for the first time a trend, for the first time in a while, where the actually it's the first time in any of in the last 2 years you can see where actual the yield to maturity has actually gone up from the previous quarter and stuff. So we expect that to continue over the over the next quarters and certainly over the next years as interest rates, the Fed probably takes action at some point. A lot of people believe this year to begin to raise rates, and we'll certainly be taking advantage of that. But that's what's happening. And be happy to answer any questions. And if not, I'm going to introduce Susan Anderson. You all remember Susan is with Valley View Consulting, who helps us with our investments. And Susan has a presentation. We ask Susan to come twice a year to sort of give an economic update for us. So.
Okay. Good morning. Susan Anderson with Valley View again. They have asked me to give another one of the market updates and try to show you what's in the crystal ball as we see it. The market economy is really right now a tale of two worlds. The U.S. appears to be, you know, running and clicking along on all cylinders, but if you look just across the ocean, you see that they're still trying to pour gas into the gas tank and get the engine running. So how that serves us long term in the U.S. is kind of up for discussion right now. Because you have to have a global economy, a global market for things to work. When you've got a breakdown to the extent that we're seeing overseas, it's going to be real difficult for us to keep up the pace of growth. Basically, the economy has been improving. The housing market has sputtered a little bit, mainly because housing prices got a little bit too high for people to really get out and purchase. I've also heard a lot of discussion out there that if you'll remember when the recession began and people were losing their homes, that's been about 7 years ago. You're now getting to the point where a lot of those folks, when they lost their homes, are now getting to the point where they can requalify to get a new mortgage. So you might see an increase in the number of folks coming to purchase homes, which is really a good multiplier for the U.S. economy as a whole if we can get people out buying homes. We're closing in on Fed targets for employment and production. They've actually taken off the expectation for employment because we actually hit the unemployment rate that they had early on said was their target. We're closely watching the Fed, as John mentioned. We assume that the Fed is going to raise that short-term Fed funds rate that is so crucial for your portfolio in the near term. A lot of the projections that we will show today were based on November projections that the Fed itself came out and published. However, they hadn't anticipated falling gas prices, so we'll see how that impacts the situation. Tomorrow they begin one of their 10 annual meetings. On Wednesday they'll come out with their new assessment of the economy, so we'll see what they have to say about it now that the oil and gas situation has come on board. We'll talk a little bit about the global slowdown and the oil prices situation in a little bit later graph. But long-range strength, all that said, is becoming a little more uncertain than it was about 3 to 6 months ago. We appear to be on a pace for really rapid growth and continued growth. Now, with the situation on oil prices and the situation overseas, we're tempering that a little bit. I'll take you through three different indicators. GDP, gross domestic product, that is what the U.S. produces. It's a good indicator of the growth in the economy. When the Fed came out, and the next slide will show you where they were anticipating we would be at year end, we blew through that. The last two quarters, we've been up above 4.5%. 4.6% and 5% was what we saw the last two reports for the year. They had projected fourth quarter to be 2.2%. So you can see that just really blew all of that out of the water. The 2.7, 2.8, 3.1, that was where the Fed believed, the light blue columns, where we would be in those indicators or those points in times when they met in November. So you can see they weren't quite as optimistic in November as what the economy really turned out to be. This particular screen shows you every quarter the Fed comes out after their meeting and they project where the economy will be at certain bench point, certain time frames. You can see that in the first one, the dark blue, November of 2013, they were not quite as optimistic as they turned out, as the reality turned out to be. However, when they met in November of 14, they were starting to temper that growth a little bit. So we'll see really, and I think a lot of it will have to do with what happens overseas and the oil prices. Unemployment has been, the employment market has been doing great. They issued the November job creation report at 321,000, which we're excited anytime we see anything over 250,000. We fully expected, as did most economists, that when the December report came out, they would adjust November's downward, and in fact, they adjusted it upwards. It actually turned out that we had added 353,000 jobs, so 100,000 jobs more than what would be a good assumption. December came in adding 252,000, so we are on the right path as far as the economy is going with employment. The unemployment rate has been dropping dramatically. It's 5.6% as of the last report. You can see those last two light blue bars. That's where the Fed anticipated they will be in those next two quarters. But again, that was anticipated back in November. So it's likely when they come out with their new assessment that those will be lower. Here they are with the forecasts. You can see that each time they have met and have issued their assessment of the market, it has been coming down from the employment perspective. Inflation has not been a problem for a long time. The Fed doesn't see it to be a problem for anywhere near the term. They are tolerant and would like to see actually an inflation rate of 2 to 3%. Mm-hmm. So we're still way below that. There's no concerns that we're going to pick up and have a really heated economy in the very near term. And again, this is an assessment of each year when the Fed met, where they anticipate things will be. CPI, you'll see that blue bar in 2014, a big drop in CPI. That has a lot to do with the dropping oil prices that we saw at the year end. They measure this at year end, and we had a tremendous drop in prices due to oil. So what does this mean? I added a couple of charts for you to really pay attention to into the future. The WTI West Texas crude oil price, you can see that since 2010, the price has been in and around the $90 to $100 per barrel range. And what has happened since late 2014 is a dramatic drop in oil prices. There's a huge debate going on as to whether this is good or bad for the economy. Those that say it's bad for the economy tie it to all of the folks that are related to the oil industry, jobs, investment, et cetera. But those that are arguing that it is a great time and we're looking for a huge increase in the economy are those that say, look how much money is not going into the gas tank of these 70% consumers or consumers that make up 70% of the economy. That's got to be a good driver for the economy over the long run. So we're listening to both sides of those economy, but those economists, but what we've been seeing lately is that the falling gas prices have actually been helping in the consumption and the feeling of the consumers. They're buying more. So we'll see how that bodes over the long run. And then finally, inflation over in Europe has just collapsed. You can see this is just measured over a one-year period of time, but it was 0.8% in January of last year. We've now dipped into the negative 0.2% for inflation overseas. They have just now announced the stimulus program in Europe, the European Central Bank, that tries to emulate what we've done over in the U.S. They're buying a lot of their euros at the Fed level. It has actually caused a little bit of a shock. We had some other currencies that tried to address it up front, and it really kind of messed things up overseas. Swiss franc was the main problem. But you got to think, they're just now starting the stimulus program that we've had going on for 5 years. So you got to think that even with the aggressive stimulus that they are trying to insert into their economy, it's going to take some time for it to work its way through their economy. All that said is if their economy overseas continues to spiral downward, or if it continues to be flat at this point, it will eventually impact the U.S. And so that is the biggest concern that we have. We put that at the top of the list this time, is the global part of the economy. Yes, the U.S. appears to be on a good path, but we still have to kind of look over to the side to see what's going on with our neighbors to get a real good feel. When the Fed comes out with their announcement on Wednesday, we'll be closely monitoring how much they talk about oil prices in the global economy to see how much attention they're paying to it and whether or not that delays them raising the Fed funds rate, which we're just holding our breath that they will start to raise that because it will really make a big difference in your position. Any questions? Yes.
What do you think caused the global drop in oil prices?
There's a lot of speculation, but a lot of it has to do with the U.S. production going up so dramatically. We've become a large producer. We consume what we produce. When you have that much supply coming in, demand hasn't changed that much, prices will go down. There's also speculation that the Saudis, OPEC, are using the oil price to try to strangle us out of production over here. There's also been speculation that I've read that Saudi Arabia is trying to strangle some of the terrorist group like ISIS, who depends so much on oil prices because they have taken over so many refineries. So there's a lot of interaction and interwoven things that are going on. So it's hard to pick any one thing. But each one of those items that I just mentioned put pressure downward on oil prices. And it's just going to remain to be seen what happens to supply. Do they actually squeeze us out to where we don't produce as much and we go back to equilibrium? I doubt that will happen, because what happens when you squeeze somebody out, once prices go back up, they start producing again. So I think we just need to find a global equilibrium and move that direction.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else?